GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Federal immigration agents say they arrested nearly 1,200 people in operations Monday. And ABC's Aaron Katursky in New York says the Homeland Security Secretary, Kristi Noem, was on hand for a New York City arrest.
Noem is expected to witness other immigration enforcement actions as agents detain undocumented migrants targeted for deportation. New York City is one of several so-called sanctuary cities where federal authorities are conducting operations meant to expedite the removal of millions of undocumented immigrants.
There are major questions about the future of federal aid and grants after the White House Budget Office ordered all payments paused to review if they're consistent with President Trump's policies. Social Security and Medicare are exempt. It's not clear if the president has the authority to stop these payments, which have already been approved by Congress. Norfolk Southern's going to pay $22 million to the village of East Palestine, Ohio, to settle claims from the 2023 train derailment. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. With the increase in flu, colds, and other respiratory diseases this time of year, Bellin Health is asking people who are sick to stay home. Officials say avoiding clinics and healthcare facilities when you're sick helps to stop the spread of seasonal respiratory illnesses. If a person is sick and must visit a Bellin hospital or clinic, then masks are, quote, strongly encouraged. Appleton comes in at number 4. Waukesha is number 5, all on the list of the best Midwest cities to move to this year. Consumer Affairs compiled the list by looking at 100 of the most populated Midwest cities and evaluating their safety, affordability, economy, education, and quality of life. Rounding out the top 5 are Arlington Heights, Illinois, Naperville, Illinois, and at number 1, Carmel, Indiana. And the worst city in the Midwest to move to? Detroit, Michigan. The month of January ends with Winter Salt Awareness Week. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more on what that means for our Wisconsin waters.
It's a time to focus on the true impacts of salt and ways to be a freshwater advocate. Although salt keeps Wisconsin roads safe during the winter, using more salt than needed comes at a price. Chlorides from salt are infiltrating our lakes, streams, and groundwater. And Wisconsin SaltWise says 1 teaspoon of salt is all it takes to make 5 gallons of water toxic for freshwater organisms. The DNR measures chloride levels in Wisconsin rivers. Recent studies have shown a steep increase in chloride loads. In the early 2000s, the DNR measured about 600,000 tons of chlorides annually, and by 2018, that number increased to nearly 800,000 tons per year. 50 rivers and streams and one lake in Wisconsin have been designated as impaired by high chloride concentrations, primarily from salt use during the winter months.
This is 97.9 WGBW News.
The Bucks defeat the Jazz. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Another win for Milwaukee, 125-110 over the Utah Jazz. Head coach Doc Rivers asked why would the refs call a flagrant 2-foul on the Bucks' Andre Jackson with less than a minute left to play.
Late in the game, my opinion, the refs are probably trying to keep the game clean. I think Sexton and they were getting into it, and honestly, I think they believe get one of them off the floor so nothing happened. So I get it. I didn't think it was a flagrant two, but it, you know, I think that's the reason.
The Bucks are in Portland tonight against the Trail Blazers. College basketball, the Badgers travel to Maryland to play the Terrapins tomorrow night. Wisconsin now ranked 17th in the nation. NFL, the Green Bay Packers have signed Rich Bisaccia to a contract extension, adding on an additional 2 years. Bisaccia is assistant head coach and special teams coordinator, and Luke Getsy has returned to the coaching staff as an offensive assistant. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbins. Mostly cloudy and breezy today with highs in the mid-30s. A few flurries can't be ruled out. For tonight, few flurries possible, otherwise breezy with lows in the upper 20s. The breeze sticks around on Wednesday with highs in the lower 30s. Currently, it's 24 degrees.
Hey, it's Amanda with your new Wisco 411, and who's ready to jump into an icy cold lake? Come on, it sounds like fun, right? A polar plunge is a Wisconsin rite of passage, and one's coming up sooner than you think. February 22nd at Prokopsky Boat Launch in De Pere. You can join a bunch of other brave and exciting souls who are ready to take the plunge, supporting more than 1,400 athletes of Special Olympics Wisconsin. Go ahead and register now. Go to WGBW.FM, click events to find out how.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, Talk of Green Bay.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. It's Tuesday Tangents with our friend Luke Mathers. Find out what's grinding his gears and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I
thought I knew that voice a couple times, but we'll get into it. 855-752-4842. Sandy can't hear. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. Sandy, can you hear now?
Yep.
All right, so we're going to get into the music and why Sandy has played the music he has in a few minutes. But we've been talking about meritocracy and what it is. And so we've got some callers still on the line. I think it's a worthy conversation. I think the conversation runs deeper than the surface of the definition of what meritocracy is. Let's go to Cassandra from Madison. Good morning to you, Cassandra. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Hi, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. You know, whenever we talk about meritocracy and organizations, what I have learned is that there is a shifting definition of who is considered worthy of appointment, advancement, etc. And there's not always a clear definition of who is
worthy,
who has merit.
Yes, right.
And who is worthy. Yeah. And I I'm a military veteran, and occasionally I follow the news in many of the military times. And I don't know if you all are aware of this, but the U.S. Navy has relieved in the last year, 18 months, 12 commanders and one commandant of the Coast Guard.
Yes, yeah, female, the first female.
The first female.
Right.
Yes. And most of the individuals who were relieved from their command, many of them, not all, many of them were women or people of color. And the reason for removing them from command was because they did not inspire leadership in the ranks. And so my question is, how does Pete Hegseth, someone who is a major, a junior, well, a mid-rank officer, someone who has never managed any organization the size of the Pentagon, how is he qualified? How was that appointment based upon merit? And so these ideas, when I listen to conservatives and I do lean conservative in some ways, but I am willing to step back and say, this is not, your ideology and your application do not line up.
Bingo. Yeah. I mean, bingo, Cassandra. You know, so Pete Hegseth, Sandy, you want to take a kick at that can?
Well, on merit, like I said, one person's merit is another person's hypocrisy or bigotry. Certainly merit wasn't the basis on which Pete Hegseth was selected, right? I mean, as to who would be the very best person to run the Department of Defense, I'm confident that if there were a competition measured by people with objective thought, Pete Hegseth wouldn't have been even in the mix.
Hey, he might have not even made the top 100 when we're talking about, or 1,000 when we're talking about.
I don't think he makes the list.
I know. It's just true. Yet he's in a position now to meet that out, Sandy.
Right.
That's the problem with all this. Let's go to Linda from McClare. Good morning to you, Linda. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for calling. You say what? Linda, are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I am. Earl, I come across this word here. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but as far as merit, there's a word here. Maybe Sandy will correct me if I've got it wrong. Kakistocracy, when a government by the least suitable or competent citizens of a state. And that's what's happening now. We have the most incompetent people who are running the country. And the definition of a kakistocracy, in addition to all the other descriptors of it.
So, Linda, hang on, Sandy. You have you heard of that word?
Well, I haven't happily because it hasn't happened probably that often. But I think that the American public is the judge of the merit of the incoming administration and every incoming administration, and hopefully we'll do a good job of measuring the merit of what it is that we're currently being presented with, which, in my mind, has a lot to prove. I'm definitely from Missouri as to whether or not this incoming administration reflects any sort of merit.
Hey, Linda, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Dave from Mequon. Good morning to you, Dave. You say what?
Good morning. I guess we have a very different ideology when it comes to this. And, I have looked at his background, Pete Hegseth. And, the guy went to two elite schools. He went to Harvard. He went to Princeton. He served in the Army. Went to battle. He's familiar with a lot of the nuances of the military. And, maybe you guys are saying he's not in the top 100, but I disagree. I think he is a new generation.
Well, David, you left off this resume. You left off his temporary or short-term leadership of the Veterans Organization from which he was suspended from his job, or at least they've had a mutual parting of the ways. Based on experience that included some financial problems as well as potentially alcohol-related issues. You've that's a partial resume. There's some blanks in there.
All right, so didn't George Bush, didn't he have issues when he was younger?
But that's not the answer. That's not the answer, didn't George Bush. We're talking about Pete Hegseth, and we're talking about a man running the biggest, entity in our government.
Well, we had, and also George Bush was elected governor of Texas, and there was a process of, observation of George Bush and his capacity to perform for a period of years by voters and in a public way, which hasn't been the case in this other circumstance. But I'm just saying you're providing a partial resume, that's all.
All right. Well, at the end of the day, I do think, though, we do have to go back to a merit system, because if we lower the standards like the state of Wisconsin did, you're doing a huge disservice for the people that would probably not be qualified.
So where did the state of Wisconsin lower the standards? What do you mean?
Well, didn't you see that Governor Evers just had a disagreement with the I forgot her name.
Oh, well, yes, the Department of Education, the head of, wanted to change the testing standards. They didn't. That was different. They weren't changing the standards with respect to the measurement of people. They were going to change the way in which the tests were recorded and measured. But I'm not sure that DEI necessarily correctly implemented involves a changing of standards. And do you understand that to be the case?
Well, again, that's why the whole Asian community sued the top schools in the country.
That was not DEI per se. That was the acceptance program, and that was affirmative action.
Hey, David, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Well, my brain's about ready to explode. First off, Cassandra and people like Cassandra, this is what you voted for. Just want to remind you of that. Second, again, I'm not picking her out particularly. I'm saying people like her. Also, racism is interwoven into the fabric of our society. Like I've talked about before, even in Hollywood, in the media, usually portray black people as criminals, as thugs, as gangbangers, as drug dealers. So that's what people in small town Wisconsin all of a sudden think. That's their experience with black people. And people need to wake up. What this country seems to want to move to is not a meritocracy. What it wants to move to is a straight commission job. And I'll tell you what, even in a very diverse place like Los Angeles, if you are a salesperson, now I am very, very lucky. I am a white guy. I can walk up to someone's door at 7 o'clock at night and people are not going to fear me as much as they will some black guy that's, selling internet and cable door to door. This is what DEI was basically to put a rule in place. First off, I don't even think it was done in the government so much as it was done in private corporations because they saw the number of their customers that identified with different people.
Hey, Tom, hang on a second. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And you guys hang on the phone lines. It's Tuesday. That means Sandy Williams, my co-host, is holding down the fort. We'll be right back.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcast. Or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
Well, Sandy, I thought maybe people might have had a chance to figure out the music, but now James Brown. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, nobody knows the music. Why?
Well, all of it involves a president. That's the funky president, yep. If you listen. There weren't enough words there. The prior song was the president singing Amazing Grace. That was Barack Obama.
Yeah, I knew what they had voice.
And the first song was about FDR. The next couple of songs were about Dwight Eisenhower. So these are all songs that relate to presidents.
All right, Tom, L.A., go ahead. Finish up your thought.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is the Republicans' idea is for it to be a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant straight man. Now, I will tell you, I'm pretty fortunate because of the fact that I can pass as a straight man. But the thing is, the problem is that if you have majority of white people, the good old boys club, if you have that, and everybody is basically an independent owner of a business, or they work straight commission, which is what the Republicans would like. They'd like us to have no salary at all. Then basically, the people that are going to win in that equation will always be the white Anglo-Saxon straight, you know, Protestant man, because there's more of them in the country than there is anybody else. So I just hope people kind of can check their white privilege at the door. The whole idea of DEI was to actually just make people aware of the fact that there is diversity in a workforce, and don't let the majority of straight white men think that they are the only ones in a workforce. And the same thing goes with even white women that give up their power up to white men. This is the problem. So people like CJ and Gary can call in, because they don't have to worry about any type of diversity, equity, and inclusion, because my guess is most of their customers are probably white, and that's where they get their business from. So, I mean, I'm in the same position. I own my own business. I work as an independent contractor. I don't work for a company. But the thing is, I'm lucky. I'm lucky that I have the ability to be able to do it, because I am a white dude.
Say, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mark from DeSac, Prairie DeSac. Good morning to you, Mark. Thank you very much. Thanks for hanging on. You say what?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much, guys. That diversity, equity, and inclusion. Let's think about that. Diversity. We have a diverse society, and it's getting more diverse by the day. Equity is everybody should be treated equal. Inclusion, including everybody, to be able to prove their abilities, to prove their merits, and this supposed meritocracy that they're looking for. And to, I think Dave from MetQuan was talking about Pete Hegseth. Well, the man, you know, talking about his military career, if the man committed adultery during his military career, and they were aware of that, it's, to my knowledge, the military still hasn't removed that prohibition on that, and that's a court-martial offense to commit adultery. So his military career, you know, we could say, well, if you're looking at it objectively then, his military career should be set aside, but he committed a court-martial offense while in the military. I'm not judging based on that, and let's just, you know, you can't lay that aside. And the man has not run an organization of the size, any size at all, that makes him qualified to run an organization as big as the Pentagon. I mean, and they're purging people with merit out of positions all over the place. I mean, I just checked today on the whole firing the inspectors general. Part of it being an inspectors general, I assume, is part of it is in conformity with the code of ethics in terms of for the internal auditors. I know a little bit about that because I was an accountant in my career, and part of that was integrity, objectivity, and competency. I don't know if confidentiality actually applies in the terms for the inspector general, but I don't know. You have to objectively decide if these people are actually can be objective on these matters, if they have an integrity, or if they have the competency to run an organization of that size. And I do not think that Pete Hegseth does have that competency. I mean, speaking as, you know, as a layperson that has never run an organization of that size, I mean, that I, you know, worked as an accountant for the state of Wisconsin, but I had to apply my training, you know, to be, in, you know, my integrity and my competency to do my job.
You know what, Mark, the worst thing about it is he's there. Okay, they gave it to him.
Well, I do think that we should all be awake and that we should all do self-education about this DEI thing, because it's getting a bad rap and it's getting it's become a pejorative term without people even understanding what it is or what it might try to accomplish. And what it tries to accomplish is all very meritorious. And I don't believe that in its form it involves affirmative action. I think affirmative action went the way of the Supreme Court decisions in the very cases that Dave was talking about with respect to admissions to schools. And so, you know, I think as a society, we just need to be alert to this and awake to what it is, the underlying motives that might be there for throwing out the baby with the bathwater in terms of expunging DEI and painting it as a pejorative.
Well, they've already done away with it. So let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning, girl. Good morning, Sandy. Well, first of all, the guy that talked about Hegseth being so qualified, he also left off the part on the resume where Hegseth said that women are basically a burden on the military. And just because somebody went to Princeton or Harvard or whatever, does not make them qualified to run. I mean, this is $885 billion budget? Come on, this just isn't run by just anybody. So, I don't know. I think we're headed down a really bad path here. And the worst part about this is I think the military is going to eventually be used against we the people.
Hey, Cindy, thank you very much for the call. 855-752-4842 is Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my call. Sandy Williams and you. Hang on, guys. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Open for over 100 years, but currently housing less than 100 students, Columbus Elementary School in Appleton will close in June. The Appleton Area School District voted Monday night to relocate the students from Columbus to Edison Elementary School. Superintendent Greg Hartges says Edison Elementary will also receive some of the students from Franklin and Dunlap Elementaries. Columbus Elementary will become an alternative education center. Administrators and school board members from around the state were in Milwaukee to learn about the latest in education. With more, here's Civic Media's Jimmy Cuska.
The State Education Convention wrapped up Friday with a keynote speech by Governor Tony Evers, who echoed many of the statements he made during his State of the State address earlier in the week. That included a call for additional mental health funding for children and a demand for the state legislature's Joint Finance Committee to release $50 million in already approved funding for Act 20, the state's mandated overhaul of public school reading programs. The convention itself featured a number of breakout sessions tied to topics like school finance and referendums, as nearly 100 districts are on the ballot this spring across the state asking local taxpayers for more money to pay for teachers, operations, and facilities. Other popular topics at this year's convention included school safety initiatives, strategies for hiring and retention, communication and marketing, and artificial intelligence. In addition to breakouts, the state's top educators were also recognized during the convention. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Department of Public Instruction is seeking over $3 billion in this year's biennial budget. For the first time in 24 years, 83-year-old Bob Dylan will perform in Green Bay. The folk music legend and celebrated songwriter brings his Rough and Rowdy Ways worldwide tour to UW-Green Bay's Widener Center April 6th. Tickets go on sale through Ticketstar Friday morning. A one-hour presale for Widener members is Thursday at 9 a.m. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Well, the 2025 Super Bowl is set. It will be the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Kansas City Chiefs, which most people don't seem that excited about. The Chiefs will be trying to three-peat, something that has never been achieved in the Super Bowl era. The Philadelphia Eagles scored the most points in an NFL championship conference game ever, but unfortunately, they can't save some of those points for the Super Bowl. Here's hoping for a good game. Timothy Chalamet plays Bob Dylan in A Complete Unknown. The Oscar-nominated actor came under fire for a line he ad-libbed while playing an exercise class instructor, making a joke about recently deceased President Jimmy Carter. The joke was mostly met with cringe, but people who defended him countered it was just a joke. So to summarize, Chalamet, who plays a Nobel Prize winner in a movie, made fun of a Nobel Peace Prize winner on Saturday Night Live.
How noble?
For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Borbins. Mostly cloudy and breezy today with highs in the mid-30s. A few flurries can't be ruled out. For tonight, few flurries possible, otherwise breezy with lows in the upper 20s. The breeze sticks around on Wednesday with highs in the lower 30s. Right now, it's 26 degrees.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW Weekly Newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversation in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversation. Sign up today at WGBW.FM/newsletter.
In the market for a home loan? It's time to meet Kristen Ambos, the top 1% of loan originators in the U.S. and the number one female loan officer in Wisconsin for 2 years running. With over 20 years experience, Kristen and Point Mortgage Corporation are here to serve all of your lending needs, from conventional to FHA, USDA, and VA loans. Plus, with their rate match guarantee, if they can't beat your pre-approved rate, they'll pay you $500. Call Kristen Ambos today at 920-606-1156 and let her and Point Mortgage make your homeownership dreams come true.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn. Plus, Wisconsin Republicans want to limit Governor Evers' veto powers. Why did they do it when they had the majorities under former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
All right, and welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go right back to the phone lines. And Charles, thank you very much for waiting. You say what, sir?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. And so my question is, if the right has come up with what they want people to believe DEI stands for, so if we went on their definition of DEI, wouldn't Pete Hegseth be a DEI hire, somebody that's unqualified for a position that he was given?
Well, I mean, I forgot who it was, I think it was Cassandra who kind of echoed those sentiments. And I would say without question that he clearly would fall into that category based on what their definition of it is.
Okay. I was just wondering because I hear people talk about him like this guy is nowhere near qualified, but he was given, I mean, we know why he was given that position, but yeah, he's nowhere near qualified to run that agency.
Hey, Charles, thank you very much, as always, for the call. Let's go to Rob from Appleton. Good morning to you, Rob. You say what?
Hey, Earl, good morning. Enjoying the show here.
Thank you.
You know, I once heard somebody joke there's nothing more amusing than a freshman that's just gone to his first political science class and wants to tell everybody how the world works as if they never heard it before. I see a lot of that in this whole debate about wokeness and DEI. You know, the civil rights movement started back in the 60s, and I'm an older guy. I've worked with Black, Asian, male, female, Indian. It's never been a problem. So why is it suddenly this huge thing as if nobody ever thought about it or considered it before? I've been working, playing, and living next to people of all colors and races for years, and it's never been an issue, and not for anybody I know. So the question is, why is it being ginned up as such a big deal, and why are all these next-tier programs being created that really aren't necessary? We've already got laws against discrimination. We already have laws that require equal opportunity, as it should be. So what's really behind that?
I'm just to understand what the caller is saying. You're saying what's behind having DEI programs, or what's behind the vilification of the DEI programs?
I go back to my initial comment, which is kind of tongue in cheek. And, you know, people, oh, I'm woke. Well, welcome to the world. You know, my generation 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago did away with discrimination. All people are equal, color, race, it doesn't matter. If it's something new that has just happened, and that's the head scratcher for me, is why is it being presented that way? Because it's clearly not. As I said, I've been working, playing, and living next to people of all races and colors.
Do you really think that the world, that the United States is now post-racial? I know that when Obama was elected, there was a lot of exaltation, people saying, well, that we're in post-racial America now, where race doesn't make a difference. But do you really think that race has been erased from people's thought process when they're making decisions in the workplace and elsewhere?
Well, Sandy, I'll let the caller answer. But when you're talking about this, and there are Black people who are hearing this, we know that that's not the case. Okay, even with affirmative action and all of those things, race has never been erased from the lexicon of this nation.
Well, Rob,
go ahead and respond.
Well, first of all, I disagree with your question premise. It's not an either or. It's a sliding scale. It's a matter of progression and getting better and better. And if you think race has ever been erased anywhere in the world, you're fooling yourself. It's a
no, of course. That's my point, sort of. Yeah.
Where we're at today versus where we're at in this country when I was 15 years old is night and day. I mean,
I agree with that.
It makes like it's a horrible, horrible problem that's never been addressed. B is in B, S is in S. Racial relations have never been better in this country. People my age have never had more friends and relationships than family members of different types than ever.
So why is it being painted as worse? That's my question. And the reason is somebody's trying to make political havoc. It'll never be perfect, Gerald. You're right. It'll never be perfect, my man, because people are imperfect. And nowhere on the planet is racist.
Well, do you think, I mean, the DEI process hardly was political hay. I mean, if anything, it's been there's been a backlash and it's been a negative. And if anything, the concept of woke and DEI was used very probably effectively against the Democrats in the last election. So my sense is that it wasn't a popular movement. And my sense is that DEI got its start in corporate America, not in government America.
Yeah, corporations always have to CYA. I've been part of that before, no question. But like I say, on a feet in the ground basis, I've never known a world with more equality and more where people of all different types could live together in this country than they have now. So why is it being portrayed as worse than ever when that's really not the truth?
Hey, Rob, thank you very much
actually,
for listening.
Actually,
thank you very
Robert,
much for the call.
Just a minute on that, though, because it, just in terms of data, if you look at unemployment in the state of Wisconsin, we have a record low unemployment rate, and yet the unemployment rate amongst African Americans is at a very high level. So, I mean, this equity is anecdotal, and I think we're all experiencing improvements in it. But if you look at things on a macro basis and it just analyzed data, I'm not sure how much better it really is.
All right, let's go to Lori from Shawano. Hey, good morning to you, Lori. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
I say I want to comment on that whole thing with the Obama and the racism. So I was told by somebody who is on the other side that this was days after President Obama had been elected, that somebody they were listening to said that there is no more racism in America because we elected our first black president.
Yes.
But they failed to say that he's also half white because they don't want to even consider that he could possibly be related to them. But so that means that no white male can ever claim racism or sexism because every president up to Obama and since Obama has been a white male. So there's that. If those are the parameters that they're setting, then they can't come back and say, oh, well, now white males are being disadvantaged. The other thing, you're talking about meritocracy. The lady mentioned tacritocracy. And I don't know if you ever heard of the movie Idiocracy, but it was like anything that makes sense is the opposite, which is what we've got now. So the epitome of that kind of is like this guy, this insurrectionist who was released. I don't know how many years he was supposed to do.
22.
But he gets out.
And goes to the Capitol.
Wow. And he could have been alive for 22 years. Instead, he gets out and gets the death penalty. Now, that seems like an idiocracy to me.
Hey, Lori, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Eric from Tulsa, you're up next, sir. Go ahead.
Hello, Earl. Hello, Sandy. Quite the conversation today. I got to say that imagining a whitey-tighty-righty from Stoughton walking the same Milwaukee streets where young black guys hang out is patently hilarious. I think you ought to invite all your audience members to Juneteenth, and we'll see who shows up and who's comfy walking around Milwaukee. Anyways, let's not forget also our current defense secretary is actually a DUI hire. And that the people who fired this guy, the alcoholic sexual abuser recently from his positions of responsibility, are all dyed-in-the-wool GOPers. So there was no liberal, thing behind any of that. Those are all Republicans firing that guy. And also the idea of meritocracy, let's forget, is based on right now first putting, white Christian males in charge of everything. And to think that they understand that folks like this that understand meritocracy that way, putting people in charge and running by that is terrifying, I should say. But finally, I like to say, let's not forget that DEI, notice they never say diversity, equity, and inclusion, it's just DEI, has only replaced woke, to fund the police, critical race theory, or CRT, as again, they only say it, and they're eating the dogs as racist dog whistles for black and brown people are taking over the country because 2043 threatens our white supremacist doctrine and our white dominance. And to the person who said that things are getting better for folks, I'd like to say clearly, I believe that the wait, as they say, the wait, is only another way of saying, give us just one more day on top, please. And racism has evolved as well in order to maintain the socioeconomic status quo, no matter what norms exist currently. And statistically, I'd like to say, before I'm done here, is that the black wealth gap and the black ownership gap is actually greater than it was decades ago.
So no question.
People that are trying to say that things are getting better are only seeing it from their white suburban perspective, I'll say.
Hey, Eric, thank you very much for the call. Cassandra.
Yeah, hi, Earl. Thanks for taking my call again. I just wanted to make another point based upon some of the comments from another caller, especially the one who discussed Hegseth's credentials of graduating from these Ivy League colleges. In the military, that does not matter. I don't know if both you and Sandy recalled under the Obama administration, David Petraeus, he was a retired general and the director of the CIA, and he had an affair.
Yes.
And what was truly problematic for General Petraeus was that there had to be a very in-depth investigation to rule out that the affair did not occur while he was still serving in the military, because if he had an extramarital affair as a general on active duty in the military, he was subject to criminal prosecution under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And so the military codes and civilian codes on adultery are very, very different. And so as a veteran, I am appalled to have Pete Hegseth as the Secretary of the Department of Defense, because it undermines morale, and I don't approve of it.
Well, Sandra, he's supposedly there to clean it up. You know, when you hear. What Donald Trump and congressmen and senators are saying, that's what he's there for, to clean up the military.
There were more qualified people than Pete Hegseth. And as I said before, I lean conservative, and even I am willing to say this person is not qualified to sit in that office.
Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to any of that?
Well, I was going to actually respond to the caller several callers ago from Appleton, who wanted to talk about whether DEI was needed or not, that things were so much better. And I think what I would only remind him of is that things got better as the result of a lot of affirmative action.
Yes.
And a lot of affirmative attention. And that things, yes, I think are better. I'm glad that he in particular is matriculating with and has found himself in a much more diverse world. But that's good. But he needs to look at the mirror image of that is, what is the experience of the people who are of color or are diverse, and what is their experience? And is what they are experiencing, is it much better? Because he's got the experience of anecdote, and there sound like it's good experience, but it might be, well, quite limited.
Well, you know, Sandy, I don't have a PhD in many things, but I have a PhD in being a black man in America and understanding where we are. 855-752-4842 is the number. Hang on, guys. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show.
WGBW and WGBW.FM.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
Landon Jones, his commercial is a semi-finalist for Doritos and could air during the Super Bowl.
I was sitting on the couch. I was eating some Doritos. I just had one in my hand. I was looking at it. Well, what if my hand got bigger? And then I was like, okay, well, what would happen if I ate it? Okay, the head would get bigger. And then, you know, I kind of went down the rabbit hole.
Man, that's funny.
I wonder if it would work there.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning, 6 till 9 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Were you ever taught when you were young? If you mess with things selfishly, they're bound to come undone. I'm not the only one that's been affected and resented every story you've spun, and I'm a lucky one. Cause there are people worse off that have suffered enough. Haven't they suffered enough? But you can't get enough of shutting down systems for personal gain, fighting fires with liars and praying for rain. Do you get off on pain?
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my co-host, Sandy. Sandy, before we go to the phone line, just want to say, man, you know, great discussion, great topic. Callers, right? This is a conversation that needs to be being had across this nation right now. And the depth of it, because of the impact of what it is going to is going to happen because of these decisions that are being made. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. Thank you very much for the call.
Good morning. Yeah, first of all, I got three things to say if I can remember them all. First of all, excess by any reasonable measure is absolutely unqualified to be where he's at. If he were in the military, he would be drummed out. And here's how I know. I have a very, very dear friend, a woman with whom I have climbed mountains, and she was a pilot, and she was responsible in the first Trump administration. She was one of those responsible for his air security. So you know she was very, very good. She had an affair once. She was drummed out of her military service. They just basically threw her away. The next thing is that I have progressive friends and even a couple of conservative friends who, when Trump was elected and some were voting for him, they said, oh, he's not going to do all of that Project 2025 stuff. Well, I sincerely hope that this is an eye-opener for those people. I'm sure that some of the police that voted for this guy all of a sudden are getting some buyer's remorse.
Some of the Latinos.
Oh, I'm sure.
As well.
I'm sure that's the case. That's the case, too. Something like a third of Latino families in this country, I think, have one undocumented relative in the country. And anyway, finally, we are about to see what the transition into, I think, fascism is like. Maybe not quite a dictatorship, but it's going to be very close. What we have now is, I think it was Mark Twain that called this the best government that money can buy. We have government of the billionaires, by the billionaires, and for the billionaires. And people are, again, about to find that out, too. Some of those who said, yeah, this is not going to happen. It's going to happen, unfortunately.
Hey, Jack, thank you. I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Bill from Oconomowoc. Bill, go ahead.
It was on the anniversary. It was yesterday or today of the Holocaust. At the Holocaust Museum, I believe, it says we shall never forget. We forgot because now they're rounding up, as they call them, illegals, and they believe they're hurting our society, much like the German administration thought that Jews were hurting their society. They were rounded up, and first they started with ghettos. And then it led from Jewish ghettos to other places. Well, heaven help us. We are now, in 1 week, are the most insecure we've ever been nationally for national security by the destruction of our allies. All your listeners, Gary and CJ, I don't know how they can even not comprehend.
Hey, Bill, thanks. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, great calls, great conversation. You say what?
Well, I do believe that the disruption in the military is going to be substantial as well. You can't fire a bunch of generals. You can't shake. You know, people have talked about people who support Hegseth have said, well, he's a great disruptor, and that's what the Pentagon needs. Well, the disruption of our military will, in fact, disrupt our military, and we'll see what that means in terms of capability but and use and how our military is gets deployed in the future, and hopefully it's always only abroad. I think we just all have to be vigilant about what's going on because vigilance is required, and we're gonna be tested. Our courts are gonna be tested. Our system is gonna be tested, and so will all of us.
You know, Sandy, you and I talked about having this conversation early this morning. We had a whole list of other things to get to, but we didn't get to any of them because clearly people know that something is changing, right? Quickly.
Yeah.
And they have thoughts on it.
Well, and like I said, Project 2025, people, you know, Donald Trump held his nose and pretended he had nothing to do with it because he knew that much within it is very incendiary. And now its implementation is going to be is going to be incendiary. And it's going to be something that we all need to worry about a bit. And it's going to test our courts. It's going to test our system.
Hey, Sandy, thank you for a great conversation, as always. Thank everybody who made the show go. We couldn't do it without you, the listeners. Tell somebody about us so we can continue doing what we're doing. But let somebody else know about the show. And Calvin, thank you. Up next, Matt Nair, Jane Matt Nair, and Greg Bach, Matt Nair on air. See you guys on tomorrow.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn explaining why Brad Schimel should never be a Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
The 2025 draft is a few short weeks away. Experience it up close and personal with the help of Simple Life Hospitality. Homes are now available for booking, and locations are renting fast. Choose from homes to fit every budget and create unforgettable memories during this once-in-a-lifetime event. Enjoy exceptional concierge services while you visit the Cathedral of Stadiums. And don't forget, Simple Life Hospitality gift certificates make the perfect surprise. Book now at SimpleLifeRentals.com and make your draft experience unforgettable.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Federal immigration operations are taking a high-profile public approach. ABC's Aaron Katursky in New York says Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem was at the arrest of a suspected gang member in New York City.
She arrived in New York City early this morning to accompany personnel from multiple federal agencies, tweeting photos, videos, and a message. And we're quoting here that dirtbags like this will continue to be removed from our streets.
There's uncertainty over aid programs after the White House Budget Office ordered a freeze on all grants and aid aside from Social Security and Medicare in order to evaluate if the spending is consistent with President Trump's policies. Consumer confidence fell for the second straight month in January. That